Welcome to the Space Show, Tasso.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
The further away we look into space, the older the objects are that we're looking at.
That's
right. Obviously, light takes time to travel there. When you look at the distant galaxies, do you find that they're any different, and hence were different in past times, than the nearby galaxies, presumably the ones we're looking at only recently?
You have to look a long way back to actually see many big differences. If you use the redshifts, which is a measure of how far away, at moderate redshifts, we get populations of almost every galaxy. For active galaxies, normal galaxies, Seyfert galaxies, quasars. And the further away we go, and we're seeing quasars, which we think are into galaxies we cannot see. But recently, people have been looking at galaxies at high redshifts, very, very far away. And we think now we're seeing different galaxies, what we might call proto-galaxies, which have some different properties. There was a recent article by George Miley and a group in the Netherlands that they work specifically on these galaxies with high redshifts.
The reason I asked that was that, you know, you're looking at these galaxies which have these huge jets, this enormous amount of activity going on in the centre, and that begs the question, well, how long can they maintain such enormous activity before running out of energy?
Yes, that's a good question, and it depends how you actually fuel them, whether the gas is going to disappear eventually, or whether they cannibalize the gas around them. And it depends very much on the environment they were. Suppose, galaxies quite often come in clusters, and some clusters are richer than others. So if you have one of these active galaxies in a rich cluster, you can see that you can power it for a very long time. But a limit will come. That is true. I'm not quite sure that anybody knows the exact answer to that. We see, even at very high redshifts, we see these objects that they are very, very bright with incredible outputs of energy. I do not know the calculations of how long that energy will last before you have to feed it again. But because of the gravitational potential there, and you have these mergings, there is a lot of evidence of for galaxies that are actually merging. And so partly might be a phenomenon, not so much that this is a very young object, but also into a merger interaction. So be a new event of normal galaxies falling together and creating a black hole in there. Okay, Centaurus A is also a very interesting object because we can see energy coming out at different wavelengths other than radio. Not only is very prominent in the optical, and there are beautiful pictures that people have made over the years, we're also seeing it at much higher energies like gamma rays. And there's a group in the University of Adelaide that they have a gamma ray telescope out in the desert where they look at particles coming out. And it's very difficult to actually see what source these particles coming from. But I believe with Centaurus A, they have identified that it's actually coming from Centaurus A. So you have very energetic phenomena coming from that source. Basically, I think we believe, again, it's the same process of the matter falling into the black hole, and it is slowly spiraling in, a lot of energy coming out in gamma rays, x-rays, radio waves, and all different other wavelengths. In the optical, we don't see some of that because Centaurus A has a big dust lane around it, which basically covers the nucleus, so we don't actually see very much in the optical. But in the radio and the gamma rays and x-rays, a lot of energy is coming out. So this is an interesting object, again, to tie the different wavelengths together, and we are the people at Adelaide, Roger Clay's group, is actually collaborating with us on the VLBI, on the radio side, and also pursuing the same object with their own instruments.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Tasso.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.